I'm reading from chapter 53 of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he'd done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. God will bless the reading of his word. Let me pray before we come around God's precious word. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the preaching of your precious word. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you will take the things of Christ and reveal him unto us. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I read earlier from Isaiah 53 and the 12 verses there, but I want to look particularly on verse 1, where something is revealed to us. God has given us the Bible, the Word of God. It is for you and me. We've been given a report. The root meaning of that word in our text is news, tidings, report. 700 years or so before Jesus Christ came into this world, Isaiah the prophet gave us these words. It was literally a revelation. If God had not spoken to us, we would never have found out what he'd done for us. Isaiah, along with other prophets, did not fully understand what they were writing. Years later, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11, the prophets who prophesied of the grace, that is divine blessing, which was intended for you, searched and inquired earnestly about this salvation. They sought to find out to whom or when this was to come, which the Spirit of Christ working within them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. Who is this chapter talking about, these 12 verses? Is it something that we must guess about? And I'd like to pause a second, and I would like to ask you a question. Which Bible commentary do you think is the best? And this would be my answer. It would be the Bible itself. And right here in this passage in Isaiah, we have a case in point. Who is this chapter? Who are these 12 verses referring to? We don't have to guess. We don't have to surmise. For over, way over into the New Testament, we find Philip in the book of Acts. And he is in conversation with that Ethiopian eunuch who is reading this very passage. And if you look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, it says this: Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. There is no substitute for the Christian to get to know all the 66 books of the Bible. Key thoughts. Thoughts about the characters, key themes, and how our Lord and the apostles made so many references to the Old Testament, and to see how the whole 66 books marry together. In fact, to see Christ in every book. The Word of God has revealed to us this gospel, this report. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So this report is revealed. Secondly, it is repeated. This gospel report, this good news, is repeated throughout the Scriptures. If you would have a more vivid account of the death of Christ on the cross, it wouldn't really be by turning to the four Gospels, but to the 22nd Psalm and to our passage here in verse 53. Have a look at my text in verse 1 of Isaiah 53. Isaiah enlarges upon his first question and he asks a further question. He says, To whom is the bared arm of the Lord revealed? Bared arm means that God has rolled up his sleeve. I think that is symbolic of a tremendous undertaking. When God created the heavens and the earth, it is suggested that it is merely his fingerwork. For instance, you know, the 19th Psalm, it says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That word handiwork is literally his fingerwork. Dr. T. DeWitt Talmage used to say that God created the physical universe without half trying. When God created the heavens and the earth, it was without effort. He merely spoke them into existence. When he rested on the seventh day, he wasn't tired. He just finished everything. It was completed. But he goes on to say, but when God redeemed man, it required his bared arm, for salvation was his greatest undertaking. This report, this message, this gospel to mankind is repeated throughout Scripture. And we as Christians, and every Christian, is commanded to report the report. Mark 16:15 tells us, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Revealed this report, repeated this report, and thirdly, refused. Look at verse 1 at the beginning again. Who hath believed our report? The prophet seems to be registering a complaint because his message is not believed. This which was revealed to him is not received by men. And this is always the sad office of the prophet. When God called this man, Isaiah, turn over to chapter 6, he actually told him, you are going to get a message, a report, that the people won't hear. When you tell them my words, they will not believe you. And that certainly was Isaiah's experience. And just look at our passage and see how it is repeated and referenced to by Paul in the New Testament. If you glance over at Romans 10 and verse 14, you'd think you're in the same place in the Bible as we are here in Isaiah. For Paul says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That was the sad office of prophets like Isaiah. They won't listen to you. In fact, some of the prophets were actually stoned. And today, if you as a Christian proclaim faithfully the message, there will be persecution and there will be difficulties. I think that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Here was the incredible unbelief of the Jews concerning his person. He came to his own, but his own received him not. Isn't that sad? They despised his person because of his quiet, unobtrusive entrance into this world, his poverty and obscurity, and his lack of worldly pomp and appeal. But the main reason, and it is the main reason why men and women do not come to Christ today, but the main reason was because of their own blindness and their own sin. We don't want to give up our own sin. At Christ's first coming, the nation did not recognize the mighty incarnate power of God in the person of Jesus, their deliverer. This report, this gospel, is reported openly and publicly. It's not whispered in a corner, but proclaimed to all. And it is so faithful a saying, it's so well worthy of all acceptation, that one would think it should be universally received and believed. But it's quite otherwise. Few believe the prophets who spoke before of Christ. When he came himself, none of the rulers nor of the Pharisees followed him. But here and there, some of the common people, and when the apostles carried this report all the world over, some in every place believed, but comparatively very few. And to this day, of the many that profess to believe this report, there are few that cordially embrace it and submit to the power of it. I had a godly grandfather. He was born in 1880. Queen Victoria, she was born in 1819. My grandfather died in 1959. In fact, I shared a bedroom with him until his death, when I was 12 years old. As a child, he was in poverty. He had no fixed address. As I recollect, he made me laugh. He was such fun. He would tell me of how the Lord had been with him all his years. He would tell me how he knelt on the street corner by the drum of the Salvation Army, giving his life to Christ. He would tell me of the various workings of God in his lifetime. Just think, his life spanned through many, many different periods, many outstanding godly men. Regarding the Salvation Army, William Booth, he was around during my grandfather's lifetime. And what about D.L. Moody? He knew about D.L. Moody and how he came from America over here. He heard and knew about the Welsh Revival in 1904, 1905, where even the horses that the miners had, when the miners were converted, they were confused, because their owners used to scream obscenities at them and kick them, and now they were treated differently. George Muller, down in Bristol, and what about Charles Spurgeon? These men, these revivals, speak down the ages to me. Here is a testimony to the truth that God is just the same. Have you considered that your life is, in effect, a testimony to the glorious power of the gospel? Your very life should be an image of this report that we've considered this morning. What is your life witnessing to those around you who look at you and look at me? The gospel report reveals the love, grace and mercy of God in Christ. His person, his offices, his obedience, sufferings and death, and of free and full salvation by him. It is a good report. It is a true report. And it is a faithful report. And it is to be believed. And yet, sadly, there are always but few that that gave careful credit to it. For our part, here in Penrallters, we step in this new year, determined to live a holy life in obedience to Christ. Over Christmas, I have been reading the Confessions of Augustine and the life of D.L. Moody. And it's very rewarding to see the same biblical truths and experiences that men then had and that we can experience today in Christ. One comment of Moody stuck in my head. He said, "Character is what man is in the dark. What you are behind closed door." John Owen, speaking of a Christian, he said, "We may fill our pews, increase our membership, but what that Christian is on his knees in secret before Almighty God, that he is and no more." I have to tell you, Penrallt, in my life, I have been disappointed with Donald. And that many a time, but not my saviour. It reminds me of another quote from Moody, and he made me laugh when I read it. "It is easier for me to have faith in the Bible than D.L. Moody, for Moody has fooled me lots of times." I commend again to you the Word of God, its authority and its message, its report. Who hath believed our report? Will you? If you do not know Christ as your Saviour, you may read that report in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus Christ, he shed his blood for you. Your sin was placed on him. He gives eternal life to all who place their trust in him. You and me are called to renounce our sin and cling to Christ. You will never know what our Lord went through to find you and me. Read again Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. It reminds me of that hymn, "But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die, sick and helpless and ready to die. A heavenly city awaits the Christian. It is the only city I know where there is no cemetery." And aren't we in difficult times at this moment? Things we don't know, we wonder how things are going to turn out. Well, I would like just to finally address that. Strange and hurting inequities and enigmas and tragedies there certainly are in plenty, everywhere around us. Yet even the sum total of these cannot outweigh the profound and reassuring significance of the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of God's Son, our Saviour. As one of the old Puritans used to say, we should never let what we do not know destroy our faith in what we do know. However many things there are which are still mysteries to us, they do not destroy the reality and meaning of those things which actually are, and which we know. The fact of Jesus Christ changing our lives, putting his hope in our hearts, the witness of the Holy Spirit, over and against all the sufferings and problems and mysteries of man's earthly lot is the fact of Christ. He is a real fact, and he is the divine guarantee of a coming daybreak, which will break in full and final answer. Who hath believed our report? In spite of persecution and suffering, may we respond yes. 1,000 times yes, we will respond. I have a feeling that many of you can repeat the following words as I close, not just because you know the words of Charles Wesley's hymn, but because you know the Lord personally. And this is your testimony. This is your song. This is your report. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honours of your name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. And I suppose my last verse, I testify to it. He breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me.